Chapter 3. I paced the beach of my spiritual sea as I waited for Mariah to return. She was probably explaining what had happened to Aliona, and I'd love to have heard that conversation.
Oh, no big deal,
I imagined Mariah saying.
He's just fighting the spirits of the relics inside his head so he can assimilate their powers. Don't even worry about it.
I snorted at the thought, but then my lips pursed and frowned as I pictured Aliona's amethyst eyes darkened with worry. Typically, when I entered my spiritual sea, I was in a meditative state, and I wondered if my physical body was just standing in the middle of the cavern while I duked it out in here. It probably freaked them all out when I was brought here by the Sundex, and I wished I could reassure my friends. I was stuck in here for now, though, and I glanced over my shoulder at the golden spirit who continued to pout and avoid my gaze. She clearly wasn't used to losing fights, but she'd never been in a battle with me. Some more time passed, as I began pacing again, and I was starting to wonder if Mariah got lost when she appeared on the sand in a flash of light. Then the spirit held up the glass case in her hand, and the eternal flame flickered as it leaned toward me. The fire pressed up against the glass, and it looked like molten lava as it crawled up the side to reach for me.
I don't like this,
Mariah murmured, as she set the case down onto the sand.
And the princess didn't like it either.
Did you tell her I already beat the Sundex? I asked.
Of course,
the spirit replied and bit her lip.
We just worry about you, that's all.
I know, I said gently as I walked toward the white-haired woman and lifted her chin to my face. I'll be fine, I always am.
Do you know the power this one holds?
Mariah wondered and gestured to the eternal flame. Nope, I shrugged my shoulders. I'll figure it out, though, and then it'll be mine. Besides, I already have the advantage of his sister's power.
You are a fool if you think you've mastered my precognition already,
Rana muttered from her cage.
It takes years to understand how it works.
Well, lucky for me, I catch on pretty quick, I chuckled. I figured out how to see your escape plan, didn't I? Rana huffed and crossed her arms back over her chest.
I suppose she continues to underestimate you. They're even older than I am, yet they continue to be blinded by their perceived wisdom instead of understanding the truth that sits before them. I would never be so stupid as to expect that I would win a battle with a creature I knew nothing about.
I've met many a dragon in my day,
the Sundex spirit spat out.
None were able to wield so many kinds of magic or cultivate their spiritual sea. It's not my fault this one is so strange.
Strange seems to work out for me, I deadpanned.
You have no idea what you're doing, stupid dragon. I'm the youngest of the triad spirits. You have no chance to defeat either of my brothers.
I've defeated countless creatures, I shot back. And that was in the outside world. Now you're all in my world, and soon you'll all be mine. I grinned at the spirit's surprised expression, and as I stared into Rana's eyes, I yanked open the cover from the flame's glass case. There was a brief moment of stillness, and then the eternal flame poured out like water from a glass and began to form into the mold of a man. Within seconds, he stood well over 6 feet tall, and his long, slender limbs extended and contracted as he stretched and yawned. He wore the same battle armor as his sister, though his was mostly orange with black trim, and his bright red hair was cropped short and stuck out in all directions like he'd rubbed his head against a balloon. He rubbed his hands through his wild hair, and then he looked down at me with eyes so dark they looked black.
It's about time you let me out, the spirit hissed.
Huh, enjoy it while it lasts, I chuckled as I gestured to Rana. His dark gaze followed my finger, and he took in a sharp breath as he rushed toward the cage.
Rana, dear sister, what has happened to you?
I turned to Mariah and rolled my eyes at their little family reunion. They would have a full house again soon enough.
The dragon bested me in battle, my brother,
Rana said with a furrowed brow.
Now you must avenge my loss.
How did he win? Her brother gasped. We are always victorious.
Gods, I thought I was a little cocky. Okay, I was really cocky, but these two put me to shame.
Never mind that now, Mollo.
The Sundeck spirit waved a dismissive hand.
You must use your power. He will never be able to win.
Mollo turned back to face me, and his dark eyes lit up with a fiery rage. Then he bellowed, splayed out his fingers, and shot dozens of sparks out of his hands and toward me.
Oh, you aren't going to like those,
Mariah murmured with a frown. Why? What are they?
Well, you didn't care at all for the water sprites,
she replied as the buzzing creatures got closer.
And these are fire sprites.
As the tiny beasts drew nearer, I could just make out the red and orange wings that fluttered behind the fairy bodies. The fire sprites were the same small size as their watery relatives, but their skin was red from head to toe. They wore no clothing, but they each carried some sort of weapon. Some carried spears the size of toothpicks, while others brandished swords that looked like they belonged in a sandwich.
You've got to be fucking kidding me, I muttered. I'm not dealing with these little bastards.
So I conjured a fire dagger in my hand and launched it through the swarm of fire sprites at Mollo. The spirit staggered backward as the blade plunged into the meat of his shoulder, and then he laughed. I raised an eyebrow as he pulled out the dagger, and his skin healed almost simultaneously.
Damn, I breathed as my eyes widened in awe. That was way faster than I can heal.
It must be his power. That's why Rana said you'll never beat him. He heals himself automatically.
Well, sounds like a power I need to have, I growled, as I refocused my attention on the horde of fire sprites buzzing toward me.
I opened my maw and released a powerful spray of flames, but the fire sprites pushed through as if there was nothing there. Well, duh, they were fire sprites. Next idea. The sprites seemed a little smarter than the golems I'd recently fought, so I couldn't use mimicry here, and earthquakes, lightning, and echolocation were basically useless in this fight. So I began to shoot webs out of my hands, but as soon as the silky threads touched the fire sprite's skin, the sticky bindings melted away from the heat.
Okay, new plan, I grumbled before I released a cloud of the yellow-green petrification magic and sent it toward the swarm.
The fire sprites breathed it in, and the first few dropped to the ground and laid still in the sand. The ones behind them seemed to realize what had happened, though, and they spat a yellow liquid from their mouths. Their spit reacted with my petrification cloud, and my magic suddenly rushed back toward Mariah and me.
Shit!
I gasped, as I threw my fire shield to block the magical smoke from reaching us.
Ah, that was close. Mariah?
I turned to see the spirit had taken a few steps back to avoid the petrification magic that backfired on us.
You okay?
I asked as I reached a hand out to her.
I'm fine,
Mariah replied as she watched the last of the petrification cloud dissipate against my fiery shield.
That was close, though.
Okay, no more petrification, I declared as I lifted the sword of Hatra. These little bastards are going down the old-fashioned way.
As the tiny creatures buzzed closer, they spat out more of the yellow droplets onto my hands, and pinpricks of hot pain shot through my arms.
Oh, fuck!
I cursed as I lost my grip on my sword.
Ah, not used to the poison of a fire sprite, I see,
Mollo chuckled as he watched from his position near the cage.
Their saliva can be used to create a number of magical effects. In this case, I've told them to choose paralysis poison. I don't want them to kill you. I'd rather do it myself.
As he spoke, I could feel the poison begin to seep into my veins, and I struggled to remain standing.
Don't give in, Lord Evan!
Mariah cried out and placed a delicate yet firm hand on my shoulder.
You can fight him! You've been doing it for a week!
Yes!
The flame spirit hissed and narrowed his dark eyes at me.
You've been fighting me for a week, and now you're tired, dragon, so very tired.
I felt my eyelids beginning to droop as I fell to my knees.
No need to fight it now,
Mollo continued in a hypnotic tone.
Just lay down right there, and it will all be over soon.
No!
Mariah screamed, and she opened her arms wide and clapped them together in front of her. Suddenly, a beam of white light burst from her palms and burned a hole through the swarm of fire sprites. The little creatures began to screech and hiss like cockroaches, and they hesitated to continue toward me.
Oh, tisk tisk,
Mallo scoffed, as he cocked his head at Mariah.
You would break the rules for the dragon? Why?
Rules? What rules? I sleepily turned my head to the sword spirit as she replied.
He has a greater destiny than you could imagine. My decision will not be questioned. And even if it is, Lord Evan is worth any of the punishments they could give me.
Ha!
My opponent cackled.
No one is worth their punishment.
What? What is he talking about? Mariah, what's going on? Who's going to punish you?
Just use your healing magic. I'll keep talking.
Okay, I mumbled, as I clenched my fist and sent a wave of my healing power out from my core. Then I willed it to flow through my veins and push the fire sprite's poison out of my system.
You have no idea what this dragon is capable of.
Mariah continued to taunt the flame spirit.
In the outside world, he could tear you apart in seconds with his claws.
And he can't do any of that here,
Mallo sneered. I could feel the healing magic pump through my body, and I slowly regained feeling in my limbs. Finally, I was able to stand and face the fire sprites again.
I can do even more here, I growled as I whipped my sword around my head and sliced a dozen fire sprites in half.
The rest of the swarm gasped as their comrades' bodies fell to the ground in pieces, and then they buzzed and hissed as they retreated closer to Mallo.
What do you think I'm going to do?
The flame spirit laughed at his minions.
Get him!
The tiny creature's eyebrows furrowed with determination, and then they made another beeline for me. This time, I knew to keep them further away from me, and I pulled up another wall of sand right in front of the horde. I heard little thuds as several of the fire sprites crashed into the sand wall, but the rest pulled up abruptly and continued screeching like tiny annoying banshees.
How can I take Mallo out if he heals so fast? I grumbled.
It doesn't even matter if you can't get rid of the fire sprites,
Mariah replied as she pointed above the wall. Several of the sprites had flown high enough to peer over the top, and now they pointed me out to the rest of the swarm. The ones that had crashed into the wall had begun to dig their way out, and a handful of tiny red heads poked out of the sand in front of us. Well, fair enough, I agreed, as I lifted the sword of Hatra and swung it parallel with the sand wall. The blade lopped off the heads of the sprites who had dug through, and the ones watching above me chattered with fury.
Get him! He beheaded them all! The dragon must pay!
Within seconds, the rest of the horde had fluttered above the wall and then zoomed down toward me. I took a few more swings with the sword, but it was hard to hit more than a couple of the sprites while avoiding their poisonous spit.
Well, I know they can't heal like he can, I thought out loud as I stepped back from the wall. But I need to damage the rest of them somehow.
So while I came up with a plan, I created another fire shield and spread it like a bubble over Mariah and me. We stood underneath the fiery umbrella, and the fire sprites banged into the sides with rage. Unlike most of my enemies, they weren't burned by the fire, but they couldn't get through the shield either.
You know fire well. What do you think would hurt creatures made from fire?
Ah, I exhaled, and a grin spread across my face.
I just have to put them out.
What?
The spirit frowned in confusion as I took a step closer to my spiritual sea. The water lapped up to my hand as though answering my call, and I pushed a giant wave into the air. The rolling water stood nearly 20 feet tall, much higher than the sand wall, and it towered over the swarm of fire sprites. As the shadow crossed over their faces, the little beasts looked up at the water and screamed as I released the wave. The water crashed down on top of them, and I heard a loud sizzle as it extinguished each of the fire sprites.
No! Mallow bellowed. You ignorant fool! You've killed them!
Well, they tried to paralyze me, so did you think we'd go have a picnic together? You shouldn't have sent them after me if you didn't want them to die, dumbass.
A dragon shouldn't even have water magic,
the spirit spat out.
It's absurd.
I already told your sister. I'm not your average dragon.
That may be true,
Mello murmured as he narrowed his dark eyes at me.
But you won't be able to slay these beasts.
With that, a circle of sand began to bulge and grow until a hill had formed on the beach between us. It rose higher until it was a few feet taller than me, and I stared at the sand hill for a moment.
This is your big plan? I smirked. I can climb a hill, Mallo.
It isn't a hill. It's a volcano.
Suddenly, the top burst open as the volcano erupted and lava poured down the sides onto the beach. I started to bring more water up from my spiritual sea, but then Mariah held out her arm to stop me.
This isn't all,
she murmured. What are you... I started to ask when the lava began to rise from the beach and take shape. Two forms rose from the lava and took shape into huge creatures that towered over us. They stood at least 10 feet tall, and the lava hardened around their large bodies to form a rock-solid black exterior. Lava still bubbled inside the rocky skin, and I could see it through the cracks of the stones. Then the beasts opened bright red eyes that stared at us with blatant rage. They gnashed large, sharp teeth, and long, black canines dangled over their bottom lips and dripped with saliva.
"What are those?"
I asked as I eyed the beasts.
"Lava goblins,"
Mariah replied with a touch of awe in her voice.
"I haven't seen any in decades."
"I thought goblins were little annoying shits," I snickered.
"Normally, but lava ones are like giant versions."
"Well, the rocks will keep their internal lava protected from my water," I mused. "We need to figure out something else."
As I spoke, one of the lava goblins roared and then took off toward us. The gigantic beast moved slowly, but every step he took rattled the ground like a small earthquake. I watched as the golden line of his path took shape in front of me, but there was only one line instead of several like I'd seen with Rana.
"He only has one path to take. How is that?"
"Lava goblins aren't known for their intelligence,"
Mariah answered with a wry smile.
"Maybe that's all he can do."
"You just stay back," I directed her. "I'll handle them. I don't want you to get in the line of fire again."
"I can help,"
the spirit insisted.
"I know," I said as the lava goblin got closer. "But right now, I need you to back up."
"Yes, my lord."
Mariah sighed and stepped out of the beast's path. As the goblin drew near, he lifted his gigantic black arms and clenched his fists. I waited until he was only a step away, and then I dove to the side away from Mariah. The beast's fists slammed into the ground where I'd been standing, and the impact shook the ground even more than his steps until I nearly lost my balance.
"Shit!"
I gasped as I teetered to the side, but I managed to stay on my feet. Then my eyes shot over to my opponent, and when the creature stood back up, a giant crater was left on the beach. Okay, so I definitely didn't want to get hit by one of these guys. I straightened up and looked over to the other lava goblin as he started to barrel toward me with a snarl across his ugly face. Then I glanced down at his golden path and noticed it wasn't aimed at me. Instead, his path diverted just enough to be headed straight for Mariah. So I growled, ran for the bright line in my vision, and cut him off.
"Oh, no, you don't," I snarled as I skidded to a stop in front of Mariah.
The lava goblin slowed slightly to figure out what to do with my defensive position. But before he could react, I lifted the Sword of Healing and jabbed it between the black stone plates of his gut and into the lava. The beast doubled over and howled in pain, and I yanked the blade back. A trail of warm lava poured out behind my sword, and he tried desperately to cover the hole with his large stone hands. The lava continued to spill out of his belly, though, and then the other goblin roared with anger before he closed the gap between us and took a swing at me. The lava goblins moved so slow it barely took any effort to duck below their large fists. His strike connected with his companion's downturned head, and the other beast flew across the beach to land on the thick grass with a thud that sent me stumbling around in a circle. He wouldn't be getting up for a while. Then I drove my sword through the crack between the other beast's stone exterior and into the lava in his chest. The wound dumped lava onto the ground between us, and the beast fell to a knee as he reached out to try and grab me. I stepped just out of his reach and wondered how I could kill them. The water wouldn't work here, so I had to come up with another plan. If I spilled enough of their lava blood, would they die? Time to find out. I called on my stone magic and sent a blast of sand at the beast on his knees. The tiny pebbles flew in a torrent at his face, and the lava goblin roared and tore at his eyes as the sand dug into all of his open flesh. When the sandstorm finally stopped, the beast laid on his stomach, and a small puddle of lava had formed around him.
"Is it dead?"
Mariah asked from beside me with a raised eyebrow.
"They're normally quite tough."
I opened my mouth to respond when the lava goblin rolled over to its back and groaned. "So that's a no. How can I kill them?"
"Some say they have to be returned to the land to die. I don't know if you can put them back into that volcano, though."
"Oh, that would be too easy," I muttered. "We have to think of something to kill them." The lava goblin started to stir and roll around, so I conjured bolts of lightning magic that crackled from the sky and dove toward the beasts. Then each creature was shocked with several lightning bolts until they fell still again.
"Still not dead?"
Mariah wondered. "I doubt it," I smirked. "I wonder if I could use my Terra magic to reopen the volcano."
"It's not a true volcano,"
the spirit replied as she tugged at her white hair.
"I don't think you can recreate Malo's magic until you have his power. I don't know how you can kill them here."
"Maybe I don't need to," I murmured as an idea began to form. I looked around at the beach, and then I called on my earthquake magic. A heavy rumble started under our feet and shook the landscape around us. Then a line zigzagged through the sand across the beach, and suddenly it cracked open with a loud smack. As soon as the hole opened, I jogged over to the lava goblin closest to me and put my boot on his back. Then I shoved the giant body into the gaping hole in the ground, and he bellowed an angry howl as he dropped into the dark pit. The other lava goblin looked up from his prone position on the grass, and his fiery red eyes flashed with anger as he climbed back up to his feet. He charged at me with drool pouring from his toothy mouth, but I sidestepped the attack at the last second, and the second lava goblin tumbled into the deep chasm too. Then I crouched down next to the crevasse, put my hand into the sand, and called on my Terra magic to pull the sides back together. The ground shook as the two halves of the ground slid together, and the lava goblins bellowed as the last beams of sunlight were extinguished over their heads before the hole closed above them. "Problem solved," I chuckled as I stood up and brushed off my hands before I turned to face Malo. "Do you have any more beasts I can curb stomp, or do you finally have the balls to face me yourself?" Malo's dark eyes widened for a moment and then narrowed in agitation before he pulled his own sword from his belt and lifted it above his head. Then he sprinted toward me, and he moved so quickly I barely had time to lift the sword of Hatra before his blade clashed into mine. The screeching sound of metal on metal echoed up and down the side of the mountain, and I took a breath and then spun to slice across the spirit's midsection. The blade left a gash across his belly, but the wound quickly knit back together before I could even blink.
"Keep trying, dragon. Maybe you'll tire yourself out and make it even easier for me to defeat you."
I growled and sliced at the spirit again, and my blade cut through the meat of his forearm down to the bone. His arm hung limply at his side for a moment, and then it looked like invisible thread stitched the pieces back together as his arm retook its shape.
"Oh, fucking hell,"
I grumbled. But I had another idea. I continued my attack with a flurry of swings and cuts to Malo's body, and every hit left him bleeding for a second before it healed. Then he began to defend himself against my blows, and he struck at me again with his blade. I blocked his attack and continued with my dozens of blows for every one of his. His automatic healing didn't slow down, but I noticed he couldn't heal more than one wound at a time. Now, I just had to figure out how I could use this weakness against him. I changed my tactic from slicing to stabbing, and I plunged the sword into his gut. I twisted the handle to cause the most damage, and then I yanked it out. As the spirit doubled over to begin healing, I took another slice across the jugular vein on the side of his throat. Bright red blood began to pour down his neck, and he clutched at the wound while his belly healed. Blood dripped through his fingers, and I focused on another area as I brought the sword in a wide arc and buried the blade into his thigh.
"Gods!"
Mallow bellowed as blood now dumped from multiple wounds.
You shall not beat me!
Suddenly, the spirit dropped his sword and conjured a fireball in his hand. "You think fire will hurt a dragon?" I smirked.
"You're a fool if you think I'd be stupid enough to use a normal flame against you."
Mallow choked out a laugh as he took a step back and launched the fireball at me. I held up my hand to absorb the fire, but as soon as it touched my hand, the orb exploded. The sparks scattered across my clothes and began to melt the fabric into my skin, and Mariah gasped and ran closer to me.
"Lord Evan!"
she called out in a distressed tone.
"No!"
I shouted and held up my hand. "Don't let it get on you!" Then I turned toward my spiritual sea, sprinted to the water, and dove in. As the water cooled my skin, it also dissolved the sparks that hadn't yet caught fire on my clothes. I hovered underwater for a moment to get rid of Mallow's fireball, and then I kicked up to the surface and gasped for air. As I paddled back to the shore, I sent a wave of my own healing magic through my body to get rid of any remaining sparks. As I trudged up the wet sand onto the beach, Mallow had just finished healing his leg.
"Little dragon, how do you think you're going to kill me when you can't even hurt me?"
the flame spirit chuckled. I eyed him carefully as I saw Mariah creep up behind him.
"Maybe I can't hurt you," I said with a frown. "But she can."
Mallow turned, just as Mariah put her hand on his shoulder, and the ray of white light that accompanied her magic burned into his flesh as she screamed in pain. The flame spirit fell to his knees, and Mariah knelt down with him to keep her hand on his skin. Then Mallow began to convulse as though being hit with millions of volts of electricity, but Mariah didn't falter as the other spirit seized on the ground. The sword spirit was a genius. Mallow couldn't heal if he was still getting hurt.
"Get back!"
I shouted to Mariah, and she dropped her hand and rolled away in the sand as I conjured another birdcage. The jail fell from the sky and landed on top of the flame spirit as his seizures subsided, and after a couple of seconds, he rolled over and slammed into the side of the cage.
"What in the name of the gods is this?"
Mallow demanded.
"You'll pay for this, dragon!"
"Wrong again. You've already paid for challenging me. You and your sister severely underestimated what I could do, and now you can follow her lead and bow to me."
"Why should I? You can't kill me."
"Maybe not, but I'll keep you here regardless, and it can be in a nice little cage or in little pieces buried along my beach. Which way do you want it?"
"You dragons are always so barbaric,"
Mallow grumbled. Then the flame spirit took a deep breath and paced his cage for a moment before he let out a dramatic sigh and dropped to his knees. "Keep going," I demanded. He glared at me with hatred in his eyes as he lowered his hands and face to the sand in a full bow. Then the words appeared in my vision. Predation activated. Skill, automatic healing. Swiftness. As the flame spirit's power washed over me, I could feel the automatic healing begin its work on my sore muscles. Now I wouldn't have to remember to heal myself in the midst of battle, and I would have even more endurance. Fuck yes. I decided to test out the swiftness as well, and I took off at a jog down the coastline. Before I knew it, I was half a mile away from the cages, and I stopped and turned back to see Mariah wave at me from the shore. I felt fast and strong, and I knew my new power would come in handy. I raced back to my lover, and she giggled when I skidded to a stop in front of her.
"That is quite a new ability,"
she murmured. "I think I'm gonna like it," I smirked as I leaned down and kissed her on top of her head. "Thank you. I couldn't have gotten it without you."
"Anything for you, my love,"
Mariah replied with a wide grin.
"Oh, gods, your lovers," Mallow groaned. "How can a spirit lower herself to the level of a mere dragon?"
"He was more than you expected,"
the sword spirit shot back.
"You should know he's more than a mere dragon by now."
I laughed as the flame spirit crossed his arms and averted his gaze. Then I realized without his healing power, Malo's skin was even paler and washed out, and his dark eyes had lightened to a honey brown. It seemed the magic had kept his body feeling fresh and strong as well, but without it, he was weak.
"What are you going to do with me now?" he mumbled.
"You can join your sister," I snickered, as I called on my stone magic to use the sand and push the cage across the beach until it collided with Rana's prison. Once the cages were still again, the two spirits reached for each other through the bars. "You can talk, but no touching," I ordered, as I shot a layer of webbing between them before I turned back to Mariah. "I don't know enough about them. Do you think they could get their strength back if they worked together?"
"I'm not sure, but anything is possible with old magic."
The brother and sister spirit glared at me before turning back to each other to talk through the silky layer that now separated them.
"I have failed, dear sister,"
Mallow muttered as he leaned his head against the bars.
"Yes, you did,"
Rana agreed with a slight frown.
"But fear not. Our brother will not fall to the dragon."
"Yes, true."
The flame spirit nodded his head vigorously.
"He is a warrior like nothing else the dragon has faced."
"The dragon is right here, dumbass," I called out and pointed to myself sarcastically. "And I'm not worried."
"You should be," Mallow warned. "Karis has more power than either of us have."
"Had," I corrected with a smirk. "I stole your power when you bowed to me, remember?"
"And when Karis slays you, the power will return to us, and we'll find someone else to use."
"Use for what?" I raised an eyebrow.
"For whatever we need." "Then we will gain even more power."
"They're insane,"
Mariah whispered. "Certifiably," I agreed, and then spoke louder to reach the cage spirits.
"You're not getting any more power or using anyone else from now on."
"Don't be so certain, dragon. You still have to face Karis."
"I'm looking forward to it," I sneered, and turned back to Mariah. "Bring the bow." Mariah was gone in the blink of an eye to retrieve the final weapon.
"I believe we will find this quite entertaining,"
Mallow said, with a wry smile as he leaned against the bars of his cage.
"I'm sure I'll be all right," I smirked and rolled my eyes.
Then a white light flashed across the beach, and Mariah reappeared with the bow of Wellston in her hand. As soon as her toes hit the sand, Karis leapt from the weapon and took shape in front of me, and before I could react, he drew an arrow from the quiver on his back and aimed his bow at my chest. Then he released the bowstring.